How rich is Smaug? He lies atop a massive mound of gold, so very, but how rich? People have tried to work it out. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. Smaug clearly is rich, lying in Erebor on a mound of gold, as dragons are wont to do. In the Hobbit movies, it isn't so much of a mound of treasure as a small hill. Landslides, or gold slides, were a serious issue. So, how much was there? Well, this is how it is described when Bilbo first comes across it in The Hobbit. Beneath Smaug, under all his limbs and his huge coiled tail, and about him on all sides stretching away across the unseen floors, lay countless piles of precious things, gold wrought and unwrought, gems and jewels, and silver red-stained in the ruddy light. Smaug lay with wings folded like an immeasurable bat, turned partly on one side, so that the hobbit could see his underparts and his long, pale belly, crusted with gems and fragments of gold from his long lying on his costly bed. Behind him, where the walls were nearest, could dimly be seen coats of mail, helms and axes, swords and spears hanging, and there in rows stood great jars and vessels filled with a wealth that could not be guessed. To say that Bilbo's breath was taken away is no description at all. There are no words left to express his staggerment, since men changed the language that they learned of elves in the days when all the world was wonderful. Bilbo had heard tell and sing of dragon hordes before, but the splendour, the lust, the glory of such treasure had never yet come home to him. His heart was filled and pierced with enchantment and with the desire of dwarves, and he gazed motionless, almost forgetting the frightful guardian, at the gold beyond price and count. So, there were countless piles of precious things, wealth that could not be guessed, and gold beyond price and count. Tolkien clearly didn't want us to bother with counting it, just marvel at the sight. Not that that will stop us. Sorry, Professor. Well, first of all, what is it made up of, this mound of treasure? Well, a lot of gold, some of which was presumably coins, some fashioned into various items and some seemingly just chunks of unwrought ore, plus silver, a whole load of presumably well-crafted weapons and armour, gems and jewels aplenty, and most valuable of all, the Arkenstone, which was apparently worth 1/14 of the whole hoard, despite being small enough for Bilbo to easily hide upon his person. This was the treasure of the Kingdom of Erebor, plus whatever there was in the town of Dale, and maybe some trinkets Smaug had picked up from elsewhere. And Erebor was rich. Thorin describes his ancestors as being immensely rich and famous. The people of Lake Town seemed to have a saying that the king beneath the mountain, his wealth is like the sun, his silver like a fountain, his rivers golden run. The river is running gold from the mountain. Which is clearly poetic language, but makes the point. There was a lot of gold in Erebor, and Smaug took it all. So let's get two quick caveats out of the way before we get to the actual counting. First, no, Smaug isn't about to pop into a local shop and use any of his gold to buy some groceries or invest in something. So this is all just theoretical value. Its value to Smaug will be different to the value we might place on it in a very real sense. Not as a medium of exchange, but as a shiny bed. Dragons are different. And second, we do need to apply the basic economic principle of scarcity here. The value of all that gold was in it being hoarded rather than flooding the market. If there were enough gold out there for everyone to have some, its value would be much diminished. Oh, and rather obviously, trying to put a dollar value on Middle-earth gold is ridiculous for all the reasons you already know. None of which, or the fact that we don't have a definitive description of the size of the hoard or a full breakdown of its contents, has deterred people from trying to work it out. And as our starting point, we have the text and this picture Tolkien himself drew of Bilbo, Smaug and the gold. Michael Noah of Forbes magazine back in 2012 did Aru's own good work in taking that picture, estimating the size of the mound based on its relative length and breadth compared to Smaug and height compared to Bilbo, assuming 30% air holes in the hoard and a 50-50 gold-silver split, and reached a figure of $14.7 billion for the mound of gold and silver. Adding in an additional $29.4 billion for a number of outer mounds of treasure, the countless piles of precious things that Tolkien mentioned, $3.9 billion for the diamonds embedded in Smaug's belly, a generous $8 billion for even more diamonds and jewels, $1.1 billion on the various arms and armour, basing that on an assessment of the value of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's collection, another half billion for unseen things in other rooms, and taking account of the Arkenstone as a separate item worth 1/14 of the total, so $4.4 billion, that came to a total of $62 billion. I've put a link in the description if you're interested, and please accept this as my hat tip for that great work. Others have come to other similar conclusions. I've seen several estimates in the tens of billions. Estimates based on the Hobbit movies are much higher, into the trillions, because there is a lot more gold there. Now, as much as I applaud these efforts, there is always room for a nerdy nitpick. First, obviously, the price of gold and silver and diamonds has shifted a lot since 2012. At the time of writing this video, in real terms, diamonds are probably actually a bit cheaper than then, but silver is nearly twice as valuable and gold nearly three times. And I have an even more nerdy nitpick. In basing the calculation of the height of the biggest mound on that picture, we have to acknowledge that Tolkien stated later, in a letter, that Bilbo there is, and I quote, "enormously too large," as he is really in a separate picture or plane, being invisible to the dragon. Your guess is as good as mine as to what scale enormously too large is, but it doesn't seem unreasonable to, say, double our estimation of the height of the main hoard, as well as at least doubling the value of the gold and silver in it in aggregate. I'll let you do your own detailed calculations if you wish, with whatever assumptions you like, but I came out to a figure easily in nine figures, which is an astonishing figure. But I want to suggest to you that the even more astonishing thing is that that probably still didn't make him the richest being in Middle-earth. And that's because Smaug's net worth is mostly in gold, silver, diamonds, and precious gems and jewels. But in Middle-earth, we have one other substance that is far, far more valuable than even gold. Mithril. Gandalf explains while the Fellowship is passing through Moria. The wealth of Moria was not in gold and jewels, the toys of the dwarves, nor in iron, their servant. Such things they found here, it is true, especially iron, but they did not need to delve for them. All things that they desired they could obtain in traffic, for here alone in the world was found Moria silver, or true silver, as some have called it. Mithril is the elvish name. The dwarves have a name which they do not tell. Its worth was 10 times that of gold, and now it is beyond price, for little is left above ground. So, while Mithril was being mined, it was already worth 10 times that of gold. In Smaug's time, it was worth immeasurably more. Again, this is to do with scarcity. As Gandalf says, there is little left above ground. The shift obviously came when Durin's folk were driven from Khazad-dûm by Durin's Bane. The survivors presumably managed to take some mithril with them, perhaps what they could carry, but the majority stayed in Moria. We'll come back to that in a moment. The Longbeard royalty settled in Erebor, so presumably any mithril they did have went with them, but then they went up to the Grey Mountains, where they were driven out by another dragon. Some went to the Iron Hills and some went back to Erebor, but then Erebor itself was attacked by Smaug. It wasn't a good time for the dwarves. But as far as the mithril went, it meant that any they had managed to salvage from Khazad-dûm was probably all over the place. Maybe some survived through to Thorin and Co., though we don't hear of it. Perhaps some was taken by that dragon in the Grey Mountains. Perhaps some went to the Iron Hills. Smaug definitely took at least one piece, though probably not much more, else we would have heard of it. That one piece of mithril in Smaug's hoard was the mail shirt that Bilbo got, and that was worth a lot. This is Gandalf and Gimli discussing it. "Bilbo had a corslet of mithril rings that Thorin gave him. I wonder what has become of it. Gathering dust still in Mitchell-delving Mavham House, I suppose." "What?" cried Gimli, startled out of his silence. "A corslet of Moria silver? That was a kingly gift." "Yes," said Gandalf. "I never told him, but its worth was greater than the value of the whole shire and everything in it." Whether Gandalf is being serious about being worth the value of the Shire and everything in it is unclear, but Gimli's shock is not. If Gandalf is being remotely serious, he's suggesting that one hobbit or child-sized mithril shirt, small and light enough to be worn under travel clothes without anyone noticing, was worth, colloquially at least, 18,000 square miles of prime arable land, and all the mills and residential property and private property inside it. That mail shirt would be worth itemising in Smaug's hoard on its own. But as far as we're concerned, the bigger issue is whether any one individual had a significant amount of mithril. Because if they had, that would instantly make them even richer than Smaug. So, what happened to all the mithril of Khazad-dûm? Well, some was sold or gifted out or used during the golden era of Khazad-dûm. We hear of some helmets in Minas Tirith, Galadriel's ring, the moon letters appearing on the door of Durin, and so on. And as we noted, some was surely taken out by the retreating dwarves and ended up with dragons or in the Iron Hills or wherever. But the vast bulk of it, that remained in Khazad-dûm. And Gandalf tells us what happened to that. Of what they, the dwarves, brought to light, the orcs have gathered nearly all and given it in tribute to Sauron, who covets it. So the orcs gathered nearly all of the mithril, and now Sauron has it. What is he hoarding it for? Well, I did a separate video on that if you're interested, but when you add all that to the tributes he also gathers from other vassal lands, the rich mineral deposits of northern Mordor and so on, I think it becomes apparent that he is a different level rich. So, how rich was Smaug? If you do the maths, you can easily get to a number of tens of billions of dollars in today's money, or even hundreds of billion dollars, so very, very rich. Not that he would ever spend any of it. But far from being the richest character in fantasy fiction, he's not even the richest character in Middle-earth. That's Sauron, and it's not even close. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.